Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Welcome back to the program again this week. I don't know if you're excited about what we're teaching or not, but to me, it really is some good news. It's, you know, really truly the fulfillment of what the Word of God promised in Revelation chapter 1. He said, you're blessed if you read this book of Revelation and understand it. And as we have unpacked this book, I think we should have at least taken a lot of great fear off of people who are thinking that this is about coming catastrophes, when it literally was what was fulfilled by the writer of the book of Revelation, who said these things are about to shortly come to pass. I can't reiterate that enough. He's not talking about some 2,000 years and counting. He said these things were about to shortly come to pass, and they were written to seven churches that were really in Asia at the end of the Old Covenant Age. And I'm not going to take a long time to explain that. If you've missed any of these, one more time, I'll tell you, go to our YouTube channel where you can watch them at your leisure, pause them and take notes. We upload them to our YouTube channel. We also upload them to our podcast and an RSS feed for your Android device, so that if you'd like to stream these while you're on your way to work or you are traveling somewhere, these are good ways to redeem the time. I would encourage you also to share these links on your social media page and with your friends, because we are finding that sometimes people are afraid to share some things, but it's actually the very thing that they're looking for. You know, one of the things that I discovered, you know, when I started especially to teach Revelation like I am, and when we released especially this study guide of the biblical last days, and there's an ad there on the screen where you can get this book, I thought, you know, this is my, you know, I'm 67 years old, and as I think about getting older, I think I'm going to leave everything I got on the table so that the generations following me can at least come back and find out how I made it to this far in my journey. I'm not trying to say that I'm right about every little detail, but I think that there's such a consistency in what we're sharing that it becomes a pretty compelling argument as to the truths that are here. And so, you know, I'm finding that when I taught that, I thought, well, if I share some of these things on this large of a platform, especially on national television, that it will be to my demise. People will quit having me. But to my surprise, it is literally, our phone has rung off the hook with positive comments as well as invitations to teach this. And what I'm finding is that even highly educated leaders are responding and saying, man, this is the pieces that we're looking for. So I would encourage you, especially people who've known this message and wouldn't preach it, because you're going to find out, you were afraid if you preach it, you're going to lose people, but you might be surprised that it might be the very thing that shoots you into a whole nother level of influence, because I think this is a word that must be released in the earth at this time. So I'm encouraging you to share that. We're in the 18th chapter of Revelation today. We finished the last two segments on 17, but it continues with the theme of the great harlot. Now, I'm going to begin reading, and then we're going to make comments through this, and we have perhaps maybe one more segment on this as we come into 19. I think we're doing a good job of kind of coming to some conclusions here. I don't know how long it'll take us yet, but 18 of Revelation says this, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not her plagues. Now, let me come back and reiterate and review just a little bit. Remember, this city is the one that Jesus was prophesying to in Matthew chapter 23, when he said that all the blood of the martyrs would come upon that generation. And we will see him reiterate that again at the end of this 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, because in verse 24 says, "And her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain in the earth." And we remember also that these catastrophes and plagues and judgments are coming as a result of the souls under the altar who are crying, "How long, Lord, till you avenge us of the blood?" And he was talking about the martyrs there. Luke's version, again, of the Olivet Discourse, which is the companion to Matthew 24, same prophecy, but it's written from Luke's viewpoint. Luke said concerning that when Jesus was prophesying, he said that these are the days of vengeance, that all things which were spoken might be fulfilled. It was God avenging the blood of the martyrs and the saints, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, that Jesus declared would come upon that generation, not this generation, that generation. They were the ones who killed the prophets and stoned them that were sent to you. And it began to declare then, of course, that it's fallen, it's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, age of every unclean and hateful bird. I was reminded when I was reading that of where Jesus turned around and said to many of the Jewish leaders, "You are a generation of vipers. You are of your father, the devil." It had become the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. It became the place for dirty birds. And I could run a little rabbit track there, but I think I'll leave that alone for now. But the cage of every unclean, hateful bird, because all nations had drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And they are standing, and they'd waxed rich and heard a voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues." If you remember last segment, I believe it was, I compared Jericho and Rahab with the present chapters in Revelation. Let me review again. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, there was a 40-year wilderness journey, and they're coming now to the end where they're about to enter into Jericho, the city, and the promised land. They were preceded, the strategy to take the city was let seven trumpets blow from seven priests and then shout and then take the city. In the book of Revelation, 40 years after Jesus had prophesied all of these things, and he's telling them, "Come out of her, my people." Again, it's a call to come out of that bondage. Now, in the Old Testament, they were coming out of a physical bondage of Egypt. But I have taught this over and over in this series. Revelation 11:8 says, concerning the two witnesses, that their dead bodies would lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Well, our Lord was not crucified in Sodom or Egypt. Our Lord was crucified in Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit is taking his finger and saying, "Listen, what you call Egypt, what you call Jerusalem, I call Egypt. It's where you're slaves and servants instead of sons and heirs. And you're going to see a people about to get their inheritance here. The saints of the Most High are about to possess the kingdom." But when you look at this comparison, they came out of a physical bondage. But in the New Testament, we are coming out of the spiritual bondage, even of an old covenant paradigm, and God is giving them redemption from the curse of the law, and he's telling him, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not a partaker of her plagues." You're going to leave an old covenant that where the curses are at, because the only way you could curse somebody in the new covenant is to put them back under the law, because Paul said cursed is they, in other words, if you're going to be a debtor to do the law, you got to do the whole law, and that if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of the whole thing, and it brings a curse. But where there is no law, there is no wrath. And so he's telling them, "Come out of her, my people." He's talking about a people being able to make the transition out of an old covenant into the new covenant. And I think some of the weeping over the products that were being lost by these merchants was a lot that had to do with their sacrificial system. Can you imagine being a first century Jew? And not only are you changing the way you worship drastically, You don't have to bring a lamb any longer. You don't have to bring a bull or a goat or a turtle dove, go through these diverse washings. You don't have to be circumcised anymore. And while as we look at back at that from a 21st century mindset, we say, well, that sounds pretty good to me. Yeah, but what if your business, excuse me, what if your business was built around the selling of these animals and the raising of these animals and the wealth and the money changing that was going on here? Let me tell you, the merchants of the earth were weeping and bewailing because of the demise of this whole system. Everything about this system was about to change. It was about to come into collapse. It was literally what he prophesied in Hebrews chapter 13, that everything that could be shaken was being shaken, and our God, which is a consuming fire, was about to destroy, allow this whole system, and what Peter called the elements were about to melt with the fervent heat, and this city that was about to, was now in demise, he's saying to her, come out of her, my people. And if you remember, in the whole story of Jericho, when they got ready to take the city of Jericho, seven trumpets, seven priests blew. In the book of Revelation, right before the city of God comes on the scene, and right before the old city falls, this harlot city falls, seven trumpets blow, and seven plagues are poured out. Very striking resemblance. But when they got ready to go into the city, I think there's something that's a good comparison here. Joshua said, remember Rahab the harlot. And he said, go into the house of the harlot. This is the specific words in Joshua chapter 6. Go into the house of the harlot, watch this, and bring out the woman. He didn't say bring out the harlot. He said, bring out the woman. I submit to you, that's what he's saying when he's saying, come out of her, my people. He's looking for the woman, not the harlot, the woman with the scarlet collared cord. What do you mean? I'm talking about the woman who hung a scarlet collared cord of redemption in her house so that every bit of light that filtered into her house came through the scarlet collared cord of redemption. And Rahab finds her way into the lineage of Christ, and she finds her way into the lineage, or she finds her way into the book of Hebrews, where it says, by faith Rahab was delivered and her house because she believed. In other words, the old covenant was full of performance and it was full of commandments you had to keep. The new covenant is about faith and believing God. I challenge you. I think it's tragic that here we are in the 21st century, and I still have to convince people about what covenant that we're under. Because this whole book of Revelation was about, and the whole biblical last days is not about a cosmic collapse. It's about a change of covenant. They are moving from the old covenant to the new covenant, and there were many people. There was a first fruit that came out of this city. Remember, even with the 144,000, there was a first fruit that came out that had their father's name. They were virgins, and they stood on Mount Zion, and they were virgins. I think that these are the people who have come out of the city who are about to get married, along with what we'll see as we compare many of these parables, that would include both Jew and Gentile in Christ. Because there's so much that I can't take that rabbit track right now. It said, and I heard another voice from saying, come out of my people that be not partakers of her or no receive her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. A very powerful thought here. Let me finish reading a few of these verses. So, therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city, great Babylon, the mighty city, for 1 hour is your judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all the fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, all a lot of this stuff had to do with their temple worship. Wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, all this stuff had to do with their sacrifices, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, and slaves and souls of men. All the fruits that your souls lusted after are departed from you, and all the things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, the great city that wicked, or the last, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold, precious stones, pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches are come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and the ships and the sailors and as many trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto the great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, which to me, again, makes me think of the scripture that said, Jesus said, they'll be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He was not just talking about something way out in the distant future. He was talking about what was going to happen when they saw the destruction of this city and the judgment that it was coming upon those people. He said, but he says to them, that they would stand weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth, saying, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, and by reason of her costliness for 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her. Rejoice over her, you heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea. Do you remember when Jesus said to them, if you offend one of the least of these little ones, it would be better for you that if a millstone were hung about your neck and you were cast into the sea. Well, that's what's happening here. Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall not be found no more at all. The voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he shall be found in thee, any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of the candle shall be no more shine. Remember, even when I think about the millstone, I think about Jesus saying to them in Matthew 24, there'll be two grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. It stopped the whole productivity of this system. And the light of the candle shall be no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the saints and all that were slain on the earth. Now let me come back. I'm going to probably be able to at some point get to the parable of the virgins in this, but I wanted, when I thought about this part where he says to them, or he says concerning her, she says, I sat as a queen, and I am not a widow. What she is doing is that this harlot, adulterous, whoreless woman, this adulterous woman, is refusing to recognize that when they crucified Jesus, she killed her own husband. So she says, I said as a widow, I said as a queen, and I am not a widow. She refused to receive the death of Jesus even as a redemption. And so she was going to bear the responsibility of his martyrdom as part of her destruction. But what really caught my attention was when I thought about that, I was thinking about the 7th chapter of Romans, because I want you to see this. Chapter 7, Romans. I know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For a woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also, here's the key, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, and that we should bring forth fruit unto God, wherein, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members, to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit, and not in the olderness of the letter. Now, let me just stop for a moment and tell you that this, to me, is a powerful piece of Scripture, because it's really not talking about divorce and remarriage. And we've used that to beat people up a lot who've been divorced and remarried in the natural. But the fourth or the second husband in this story is none other than the one who was raised from the dead. So what was happening in the death of Jesus was that his death was freeing both of them to be married to a resurrection life, or to one who was raised from the dead. That death sentence that he carried in his body would be the fulfillment of all the demands of the law could make. The wages of sin was death. That's why Jesus came and died, was to take the penalty of sin and the penalty of death, so that when he was delivered for our offenses, but raised for our justification. And so he admonishes them that we should be married to another. Let me tell you something. We got married 2,000 years ago. We got a spouse to him at the cross when the blood was shed. It landed on a woman at the foot of the cross, the side that was opened by the spear of a Roman soldier. To me, correlates with the side of Adam that was open, and out of his side came a woman on the cross, the last Adam. Out of his side comes blood and water that Ephesians 5 says that he would wash us with the water by the word, that he might present us to himself. He's not going to do that. He's already done that. That he presents to himself not a bride, not having spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. And what happened was, if you realized that, hallelujah, if you could simply not say, I said as a queen and I'm not a widow. No. We have to realize that Jesus took everything we were in the old creation and the old law and took it down in death to free us from that covenant, to give us a new covenant, which is our marriage certificate. And we were espoused to him in his death, burial, and resurrection, but the 40-year transition was him getting ready to come back and receive the virgins that were waiting on him. And we'll get into that perhaps in the next segment. But we will see that they were already espoused, and they were already, but yet they had not consummated it, but they were coming to the consummation where the bride has now made herself ready. So the fact that she would not reckon herself, her first husband did, but she got married to another and was in covenant still with that old covenant. And I see that as the old covenant as being married to Adam. Because there's only ever been two men of the earth. The first man was of the earth, earthy, and the second man was the Lord from heaven. And the old covenant was given to the old man to make an old man behave. But because we refuse to reckon the death of our first husband, Adam, we never get to move into the full relationship with this marriage with the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to realize that he's already made us a virgin that's chaste, that can receive all of the inheritance of what it means to be married to another, because the new covenant is your marriage certificate. And if you're not married to him, it is illegal to use his name. And if you're not married to him, it is illegal to have intimate relationship with him. I say it like this: no wed, no bed, no covenant, no loving it. But the moment you enter into the new covenant, you enter into a place where you have a relationship with Him that He said that we should bring forth fruit unto God, that our offspring is resurrection life. I think if I can pull this up very quickly, the Message Bible says it a little bit different. He says this, so my friends, there's something like what has taken place with you. This is verse 4. When Christ died, He took that entire old rule-dominated way of life down with Him and left it in the tomb, leaving you free to marry a resurrection life and bear offspring of faith for God. For as long as you lived that old way of life, doing whatever we felt we could get away with, sin was calling most of the shots, as the old law called him us in. In other words, let me tell you, the end of this marriage and the death of Jesus was the end of that whole system. And now those who would not get married to Him refuses to reckon that their husband is dead. And she declares, I sit as a queen, but I'm not a widow. I came to tell you, you're already married to Him, and you can bring forth fruit to everlasting life. You can bring forth fruit unto God and live a life that's free from the domination of sin. And we're going to make some contrast in the next segment between the bride and the harlot, and we're going to talk a little bit about the virgins and those that were ready and those that were foolish because they still were not prepared to receive and come to the wedding. And we're going to talk about the contrast of those that came in without a wedding garment into a feast and came into the marriage without the wedding feast. They were cast out, and the last would be first and the first would be last. The first that would be last was the Jews were about to be last and the Gentiles are about to be brought in. The last are about to be made first. And they're brought into the covenant of promise with Jesus, who is the true Israel of God. I'm not talking about replacement theology. I'm talking about Jesus was always the Israel of God, according to Galatians 3. And it's in Him, both Jew and Gentile, is the real house of Israel. I'm out of time. Join us again next week as we try to bring some conclusion to these chapters. And I believe you'll be blessed. If you'd like to sow a seed into the ministry, go to the website at lynhiles.com and you will see a place there where you can give through our PayPal portal and you can give through MasterCard, Visa, or any kind of credit card or your debit card. And you can also set up a monthly debit if you'd like to become a partner with us. You can send a check or money order to the screen or to the address on the screen, or you can call that phone number and someone will take your call. Do it today. God bless you. Wouldn't it be incredibly good news if the last days are past days and not in your future? What if you don't have to face a future 7 years of hell on earth called the Great Tribulation and worry about a future mark of the beast? What if you discovered that these events happened in the past and were written about to a first century church and are not in our future? If this interests you, then this study guide will be well worth your time as it explores these and other subjects in great detail.